Magnetism is a word we've all heard of. Many of us may think of the horseshoe magnets that cause metals such as iron to fly towards them, or else the bar magnets we may have come across in science lessons at school. The forces we see here are down to the presence of magnetic fields, which can be permanently found in certain materials, or else induced in others, causing the attraction and repulsion we then see. A good insight into the workings of magnets and magnetic fields can benefit a wide range of technologies we rely on heavily today, such as data storage. Steve Collins is the principal beamline scientist on Diamond's Materials and Magnetism beamline, and he gave me an introduction to the properties and features of magnetic materials.
Well, the most obvious and well-known form of magnetism is what we call ferromagnetism, where basically magnetic materials would stick together. And if you look on an atomic scale at what causes that, it's exactly the same thing, but on a much smaller length scale. So you have tiny magnetic atoms which are interacting with each other and all pointing in the same direction. But in fact, a lot of magnetic materials, they're pointing in other directions, and they tend to point towards each other or to find some other kind of exotic pattern of arrangement, so that there's no, on average, there's no net magnetic forces. And so you would say that the materials, at least from a ferromagnetic point of view, are non-magnetic, but on an atomic scale are very much magnetic and have interesting magnetic properties.
So that essentially comes down to charges on the atomic scale on individual atoms.
It does, exactly. But the important thing is not the static quality of the charges, but the fact that they're moving. And classically, you can think of almost a planetary orbit of electrons around a nucleus, which is like a star, and they go around in a certain direction. You can imagine that each atom has a north pole and a south pole. To understand the structure and the symmetries and the electronic properties of the materials on an atomic scale is absolutely crucial to understanding how the materials work.
And what about then the applications of this knowledge and this understanding of magnetism? What role does it play in, say, everyday society, such as, say, data storage?
Well, data storage clearly is the big growth area at the moment. And, of course, using powerful magnets for making electric motors. But increasingly, these very exotic magnetic structures are expected to find use in electronic devices.
And, well, Steve, you're principal beamline scientist here on the Materials and Magnetism beamline. What type of research is taking place at this beamline?
On this particular beamline, we look at the magnetic properties and related properties of materials really on atomic length scales. So we kind of combine the fairly conventional measurements of X-ray diffraction, which are used to understand the crystal structure of all sorts of materials in the physical and life sciences, to looking at relatively simple structures, but we look in much more detail and understand from these measurements exactly where the magnetism is on atomic scales. We can see where the magnetism is, we can see which atoms are magnetic, and we can even work out the cause of the magnetism in terms of whether it originates predominantly from the intrinsic magnetism of every electron which is in the material, or because of the motion of the electrons around the atom.
Well, we've come alongside your beamline now, and so there is a fine metal tube where the X-rays obviously come out, an area for the sample to actually be placed just in front of that tube, and then something that's kind of moving around it, which I imagine then picks up the scatters from the crystals.
It does, actually. This we call this a diffractometer, but it's effectively a large robot. The robot has two hands, and one hand of the robot holds the sample that we're studying and moves it into the positions that we need. And the other hand of the robot will hold the equipment which detects the X-rays scattered from the sample. And we have to synchronize the movement of both of the hands of this robot in order to carry out the measurements.
But now, looking at where the sample's actually mounted, there's a metal cylinder, and it looks like a fairly complicated piece of engineering just for where the sample's placed.
That's right, and this is because a lot of the materials that we're interested in have properties which change with temperature, The particular device that you're looking at can take us down to about 4 degrees above absolute zero in temperature.
So very cold.
Very cold.
And what is there an example then of a sample that could be looked at and what kind of diffraction it would cause when an X-ray hits it?
Well, a lot of the materials that we look at are materials that we call antiferromagnets. And in these materials, the atomic scale magnets tend to point towards each other. But the important thing from the diffraction point of view is that they form extra periodicities in the sample. So it's very much like a diffraction grating, like the diffraction of light that you would see from a CD or something like that. But because the magnetism forms an extra periodicity, it gives scattering at angles which would not see any scattering if the magnetism wasn't there. So the nice thing is we have a very, very clean signal which is showing us exactly the effect that we're interested in. So we can pick out either the magnetism or some related process and home in specifically on that.
And what kind of application then could this knowledge have?
Largely, almost entirely, in fact, in basic science, and it's a question of understanding the properties of the materials. So where all the magnetic moments are in a crystal, which directions they point. And also, at the same time, we often study any very small displacements. I mean, these are displacements of a very tiny fraction of the size of an atom. But the displacements can have a crucial effect on the properties of the materials, and we can see those using exactly the same equipment.
Steve Collins, Principal Beamline Scientist on Diamond's I-16, or Materials and Magnetism, Beamline.